Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
You know, life can be a balancing act for any adult, but if you find yourself consistently late, disorganized, forgetful, or overwhelmed by your responsibilities, you may possibly have ADD or ADHD. My guest is Sharon Bagley, the senior health and science correspondent at Reuters. So tell us a little bit, is there a growing number of adults suffering with ADD or ADHD, Sharon?
Well, there's certainly a growing number of adults who are recognized as having ADD or ADHD. The National Institutes of Health estimates that about 4% of adults have it, but that compares to more than twice that frequency, 9% of children. So I think what's happening is that just as it took a long time for society to recognize that there was such a condition in children, and that really didn't happen until the 1990s, only now are we recognizing that it can occur in adults as well. It's not something you necessarily grow out of.
Okay, so the diagnosis per se, you know, requires a certain number of symptoms and medical history and that sort of thing. Are we, you know, you've written something. Is it going to loosen that diagnostic criteria for this disorder? Is it going to make it easier to diagnose or more difficult?
It is. As you know, the American Psychiatric Association has been in the middle of a years-long project to redo its statistical diagnostic and statistical manual, which is basically the Bible of psychiatry. It's what therapists, practitioners use to diagnose their patients. And the change is going to be that previously a person had to have at least 6 symptoms of inattention and 6 symptoms of impulsivity or hyperactivity, and all of them had to be present for a minimum of 6 months with harmful effects. But the change, which is expected to kick in next May of 2013, will require only 3 inattention symptoms and 4 hyperactivity impulsivity symptoms, which, you know, the numbers alone show that more people will fit the diagnosis.
Sharon, give us some of the inattentional symptoms or attentional problems people might notice that would sort of make that light bulb or raise a red flag.
Yeah, you're easily distracted. You can be forgetful in daily activities, you know, running errands, returning calls. You have trouble remaining focused. Even in something as simple as someone is speaking to you directly, your mind seems to be somewhere else. You don't follow through on instructions. There are things that many of us have problems with, at least sometimes. The difference is that for somebody who truly has the illness, they have problems with these things all the time, and as I said, for at least 6 months running.
Okay, so because, as you say, we all have some of these issues. Maybe we're bored with what the person is saying, so we're not paying attention.
Exactly.
With this over, you know, dependence on technology, multitasking has become a part of life now. You know, there's so many things attracting our attention all at once, so focusing again becomes an issue. So to recognize the difference between running our silly heads off, trying to keep our careers in check, and our children and our parents and everything, and not truly being able to focus or get things done, do we see a doctor if you really think this is an issue?
There's certainly no harm in saying, you know, I have a bunch of these problems. And there's a crucial element here as well, Melanie. There's no such thing as adult onset ADHD. If you did not have it as a child, it's not something you develop as an adult. But there's an important asterisk here. As we said, ADHD began to be recognized in children only in the 1990s. So if you are someone who was a child earlier than the 1990s, as most of us were, it's very possible that you had this, but it just was not recognized. So in that case, if you think you have it, and again, in consultation with a physician or a therapist, it would be great if you can go back, get old school records, talk to your parents, talk to anyone who knew you as a child, and, you know, ask them, was I like this when I was, you know, 7, 8, 12, whatever? And then armed with that information, you can go to your physician and say, not only are these the symptoms that I'm having, not only are these the problems with attention that I'm having, but here's what I was like as a child.
Now, I think that one of the reasons that our listeners might say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that, is because people tend to be afraid, Sharon, of the medications, you know, in quotation marks, that are prescribed these days for attentional issues. So speak about that fear of these things.
The source of much of the fear, I would say, is that these are medications that seem to be necessary to take basically forever. It's not as if you take a medication for a few months and suddenly you're cured. All that the studies have shown so far is that stimulants such as Ritalin, which, as you know, is commonly prescribed for children as well, and there's a medication called Strattera, which was specifically approved by the FDA for adult ADHD, those seem to lessen symptoms. But in all honesty, the studies were very short-term. They followed people for only a few months or up to a year. So the evidence is just not as strong for the value, the efficacy of these drugs as it is in children. So, you know, understandably, people are concerned not only about having to take something for the rest of their lives, but also whether it will really be effective. But I have to quickly add here, drugs aren't your only option. Cognitive behavioral therapy has also been shown to be quite effective in adults with ADHD. And then there are also just things you can do to change your environment, to change the world around you that will make it easier for you to cope if you do have it.
Well, let's talk about some of those sort of self-help for adult ADD. I mean, there are things besides, you know, I'm an exercise physiologist, so I always like to recommend exercise as a way to kind of regulate some hormones, make you feel a little better, perk up your energy a little bit, help you to focus. So putting exercise off the table, talk about some of these others.
Well, let me just put the exercise back on for a second, because surely if you're run down, tired, you know, chronically, you know, sluggish, it's going to be that much harder to summon the mental energy to focus on the things that you have to focus on. But beyond that, it's also been shown that if you know, it's kind of like the old joke, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, only one, but the light bulb has to want to change. So in the case of adult ADHD, the first step is to recognize that there might be something happening here. And if you recognize that, then, for instance, you can do mental exercises so that you recognize when your mind is starting to wander, and you can bring yourself back to the focal point where you should be, whether it's on your daily activities or your family or your work. Again, recognition is the first step.
Recognition is the first step. And what about sleep? Does that play a role?
As it does in everything, you know, as you know, from obesity to heart disease. If you are tired, if you're not getting enough sleep, you're just putting too much pressure on both your body and your mind. And if you also have ADHD, you're just not going to be able to bring yourself back to the focal point where you need to be.
And is there any sort of, you know, you're working on your relationships, but can you do anything physically, like keeping a list, being a better time manager, being more organized? Does that help with some of those attentional focus issues?
There are a lot of things like that that do work. Certainly, if you can surround yourself with reminders of what you should be doing, that's a first step. But then there are also things that can be done, especially in the workplace, that will help you. Use headphones to listen to music. One of the people I spoke to found that hugely helpful. She said that sometimes an ADHD brain just needs something to occupy parts of it, so that other parts can focus. And for some people, it's music. Similarly, people find that if you take more frequent breaks or check in with supervisor more frequently, those can also help you stay on task.
Well, I have to cut us short. It goes so fast, Sharon. And tell people where they can find out more information.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're listening to Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole. Stay well and stay tuned. There's more coming up.